Tonight, Simply the Best, tributes to trailblazing superstar Tina Turner. The legacy of a powerhouse performer. Timeless, triumphant, and transformative. The heavyweight of the housing crunch.
It's always a conversation that comes up.
Canada's household debt, now the highest in the G7. Plus, a promising experiment to treat paralysis.
Okay.
Within 5 to 10 minutes, I could control my hips.
Walking, thanks to wireless implants.
CTV National News with Omar Sachedina.
Good evening, everyone. She was a one-of-a-kind artist whose superstar career spanned more than half a century. Born in a hospital in the segregated South, Tina Turner died at her sprawling estate in Switzerland at the age of 83. Along the way, she inspired millions around the world, embodying a magnetic trifecta of talent, tenacity, and a remarkable ability to triumph over life's greatest challenges with style. In 1988, she performed in front of 180,000 people at Brazil's Maracanã Stadium, breaking a record for the largest paying audience for a solo artist. CTV's Joy Malbon on the life of a legend and how she found her voice.
She wasn't a fan of the song at first, but Tina Turner made you want to move. That strut, those heels, the hair, and that voice. She sang what she felt, overcoming pain, a physically abusive marriage, from the blues to rock and roll, even appearing in movies. We don't need another hero. Tina Turner became one of the most popular female artists of all time.
Miss Tina Turner.
It took a long time to get to Hollywood.
I'm as big as Madonna in Europe. I'm as big as, in some places, the Rolling Stones.
She toured with Mick Jagger and the boys, sang with Canada's Bryan Adams, and blew them all away. Born Anna Mae Bullock, the child of sharecroppers who picked cotton, Turner found fame with a bandleader, Ike Turner. But along with those hit records...
I had had a lot of violence. Houses burned, cars shot into, the lowest that you can think of in terms of violence.
Leaving Ike in the 70s with nothing but her name, surviving on food stamps, when no one believed in her, she believed in herself. The first woman and black artist on the cover of the Rolling Stone, Tina climbed her way to number one, paving the way for other music legends.
Tina rocks. She's the absolute best. She's my hero and my icon.
Her signature sound won her a slew of Grammys, and she was inducted into the Hall of Fame.
I'm very happy to have this.
She never stopped believing.
Her life story was made into a movie and later a musical stage show.
I'm very excited to be a part of this. This took me out of retirement.
Stepping out of the spotlight in 2018, the Queen of Rock passed away peacefully after a long illness. And most would agree,
you're simply the best.
She was.
Better than all the rest.
Joy Malbon, CTV News, Washington.
Well, Tina Turner won 12 Grammys, but it was her live performances on those award shows that were shared by so many today.
You must try to ignore that it means more than.
Her manager wasn't sure she could get down these stairs in heels at the 1985 Grammys, but that ended up being a trademark for her next tour.
Stand on your feet and give it up for the Queen.
23 years later, she made a similar entrance at the awards show when she teamed up with Beyoncé for a remarkable collaboration.
Yeah, they will.
What what a performance. And joining us now with more on Tina Turner's exceptional legacy is music journalist Michael Williams. Michael, it's great to have you here.
Good to be here.
You've actually had a chance to meet Tina Turner twice.
Yes.
What was she like?
First time was in Montreal. She was there to do a festival. This was right after the BEF, British Electric Foundation, had started with her again. They did Ball of Confusion. Then they did Let's Stay Together, which was sort of the precursor to the Private Dancer album. And she was performing that weekend in Montreal. It rained all weekend. She performed in the mud. She owned it. She killed it. Everybody that came away from that mud fest only talked about one thing, Tina Turner.
And how electric she was.
Oh, man. She was just wonderful. She was every black woman that I had ever been raised by or knew was embodied in Tina Turner, from my mother to my sister to my aunt to my grandmom. She is a tribute, a living tribute to women and their resilience, and especially black women, because so much of what she went through, I have relatives that went through as well, and they got through, and she shines in every way possible.
How did those struggles impact her art?
It did. It did. Very much so, because she did not let those struggles mess with her art or take her art away. And it could have at any given time. At any given time. I believe Herbie Hancock turned her on to Buddhism, and that really helped her as well.
And giving a voice to so many. Michael Williams, thank you
absolutely.
So much for your thoughts and your perspective. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me here. Cheers.
Turning to other news now, the Five Eyes Intelligence Alliance, which includes Canada, is warning tonight about hackers linked to China, targeting critical infrastructure in the United States. It blames a state-sponsored group called Volt Typhoon. And while Canada's cyber spy agency calls it a significant threat, it adds there are no reports of Canadian victims. This comes a day after David Johnston rejected a public inquiry on foreign interference from China. The concern was that the intelligence was too sensitive to be heard in public. And as CTV's Ottawa Bureau Chief Joyce Napier reports, the opposition is now turning down an opportunity to see it.
On a visit to Winnipeg this morning, the Prime Minister could not escape questions about foreign election interference and the controversial appointment of David Johnston as his special rapporteur.
This is an eminent Canadian who has served in many capacities over decades, was appointed Governor General by Stephen Harper, and has done extraordinary work on an extremely serious issue.
Justin Trudeau renewed his invitation to all party leaders to get a security clearance that would allow them to take a deep look at the top secret intelligence reports that Johnston saw. An invitation the Conservative and Bloc Québécois leaders see as a liberal ruse to silence them.
It's a dumb trap. It's for those who are not very careful. They want to say, we offered you to see everything. You saw everything. You cannot say a word. This is a secret.
We know Justin Trudeau has something to hide.
You knew all the Trudeau kids when they were growing up.
Pierre Poilievre releasing this attack on social media today using an interview David Johnston gave CTV's Question Period in 2016.
Our friendship with Mr. Trudeau goes back to children's days when our five daughters and he and his two brothers skied together at Mont-Tremblant.
But when asked about that friendship yesterday that the opposition has used to attack his credibility, this is what Johnston had to say.
The only occasion I recall meeting him was when my wife and I attended the funeral of his father. So there was no friendship. There was no connection.
More fuel for opposition attacks.
This allows them to say Justin Trudeau and the Liberals are either corrupt or incompetent, and we're not sure which it is yet.
Jagmeet Singh is the only one willing to get the security clearance and take a look at those top secret intelligence documents, Omar, while still calling for a public inquiry.
All right, Joyce, thank you. The worst-kept secret in American politics is officially out. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is making a run for president. CTV's Richard Madden on the announcement that came with some glitches.
Righting the ship requires restoring sanity.
In his new campaign ad tonight, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis brands himself as the defender of freedom as he officially joins the race.
I'm Ron DeSantis, and I'm running for president to lead our great American comeback.
But the strongest challenger to frontrunner Donald Trump had a rough campaign launch, marred by technical snags as he chose to formally announce through an unconventional audio-only interview on Twitter with billionaire CEO Elon Musk.
All right, we're just reallocating more server capability to be able to handle load here. It's really going crazy.
After problems were resolved, DeSantis made a sales pitch, taking swipes at Trump.
Governing is not entertainment. It's not about building a brand or virtue signaling. It is about delivering results.
An announcement.
Later on conservative TV, he boasted of his electability, winning two terms in office versus Trump's record of defeats.
We need to win again as Republicans. We got to dispense with this culture of losing.
Crowded, huh?
DeSantis must now find a path to defeat Trump without alienating Trump supporters. After all, Trump's endorsement was critical to his first campaign for governor.
Build the wall. Then Mr. Trump said, "You're fired." I love that part.
Now, as bitter rivals, Trump is hitting back.
Isn't it time DeSantis remembers how he got to where he is?
Anybody here would do it.
Project again. Challenger Nikki Haley accusing DeSantis of being a Trump clone.
The way he speaks, the way his hand gestures are, the fact that he's moved his policies, all of it's copying Trump. He needs to be his own person.
And with DeSantis set to tour key primary states, Trump is piling on, calling it a, quote, botched campaign announcement and another example of why he's just not ready for the job. Omar.
All right, Richard, thank you. Well, book bans have surged in Florida under Ron DeSantis, including a work by the young poet laureate who performed at Joe Biden's inauguration.
We, the successors of a country and a time where a skinny black girl descended from slaves and raised by a single mother, can dream of becoming president only to find herself reciting for one.
Amanda Gorman says she's gutted her poem "The Hill We Climb" was placed on a restricted list at an elementary school after a complaint by just one parent. The leader of Russia's largest mercenary force is warning of a revolution unless elites in his country start getting serious about fighting the war, and claims 20,000 of his men have already died in the long battle for Bakhmut. The admission comes after a daring border raid into Russia. Here's CTV's chief international correspondent, Paul Workman.
In some ways, the Battle of Bakhmut was a Russian suicide mission. A deadly 15-month artillery duel. Until there was nothing left except to declare victory over a landscape of ruins. But at what cost? Evgeny Prigozhin, the head of the private Russian army that led the siege, offered a stark and candid answer. Bakhmut is drenched in blood, he said, both Ukrainian and ours, with 20,000 of his soldiers killed there. Adding that half of the dead were Russian convicts he recruited to fight in Bakhmut. What's more, he suggested Russia's invasion of Ukraine may have colossally backfired. Ukraine now has one of the strongest armies, he said. We have militarized Ukraine. Near the Russian border today, a team of commandos revealed details of their daring raid inside Russia. They're all Russians, members of a pro-Ukraine militia, who taunted their enemy with threats of more raids to come.
The operation is ongoing, so phase one we consider it a successful phase.
The fighters made it several kilometers inside Russia and attacked a number of targets. Video showed one of their fighters standing near an armored vehicle marked with the Russian Z insignia. Russia said it pushed the invaders back across the border, killing 70 in the process. The militias involved said two of their fighters were killed, not 70, and they will definitely be entering Russia again. As far as Russia is concerned, the incursion was ordered, organized, and planned by Ukraine as part of its soon-to-be-launched spring offensive. Ukraine, of course, denies it. Omar.
All right, Paul, thank you. Canada and Saudi Arabia have ended a five-year rift by restoring diplomatic relations after a fallout over human rights. The decision follows discussions between Prime Minister Trudeau and Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman last year. The Arab Kingdom downgraded ties in 2018 after Ottawa urged Riyadh to release jailed activists. Coming up after the break.
This is a story about real estate. It's a story about very high house prices.
New warnings with Canadians under a mountain of household debt. Plus, pummeled by a punishing typhoon. A powerful typhoon slammed Guam with strong winds and heavy rainfall. Typhoon Mawar carved a path of destruction through the small Pacific island. The storm is the strongest to hit the U.S. territory in more than two decades. Here in Canada, the country's housing agency is calling attention to a potential storm of another kind. CTV's Heather Wright explains.
Canadian households owe more in debt than the value of Canada's entire economy, with nearly three-quarters of that debt tied to mortgages.
Because of the absence of housing supply, Canadians are just piling up the debt. This is creating a lot of risks.
Alida Bjorwith wrote the report for the Canadian Mortgage and Housing Corporation and says this debt has put the country's economy at a higher risk in the event of a global economic crisis like a recession.
We're not predicting it, but if there are widespread job losses, then paying off mortgages in that circumstance is really difficult.
Canada's level of household debt is the highest in the G7 and has been growing for years. In 2008, it was 80% of GDP, 95% in 2010, and 100% in 2020. Now it's up to 107%.
This is a story about real estate. It's a story about very high house prices.
One of the solutions to bringing down those sky-high home prices is to, of course, build more houses, apartments, and rental units. But rising interest rates are now threatening to cool the construction industry as well.
One of the big drivers of economic growth in Canada, which is household construction and renovation, will be substantially constrained by these much higher interest rates.
The Bank of Canada's aggressive rate hike cycle began last year, aimed at reining in runaway inflation. And while the consumer price index has fallen, it's still well off the central bank's inflation target of 2%.
Start putting some money aside in a rainy day fund to handle those higher payments should rates remain elevated for the next few years.
The Bank of Canada has not raised interest rates since January, but has suggested another rate hike may be necessary this year, with its next announcement in 2 weeks. Heather Wright, CTV News, Toronto.
Still ahead, trading planes for trains. How a short-haul flight ban in France aims to fight climate change. France has banned short-haul flights if the trips can be made by train in 2.5 hours or less, all in an effort to cut down on carbon emissions. CTV's Vanessa Lee looks at the new measure and whether it could be implemented here.
France's transport minister calls the short-haul ban a world first.
I think it's important to take into account some behaviors, some activities which should contribute a bit more to the greening of our transport system.
The move is part of the country's sweeping plan to fight climate change and is being applauded by environmentalists from around the globe.
When you put people on a train, you're using about one-tenth of the carbon that you'd be using on those short-haul flights.
There are calls for Canada to follow in France's footsteps, even though there is no comparison to its extensive high-speed rail network.
Could we as a country move people from Toronto to Ottawa, Toronto, Montreal, Edmonton, Calgary, Saskatoon, Regina, these short-haul trips, could we move them by bus, by train? Absolutely we could.
As countries look to the new transportation model as a potential prototype moving forward, critics call it a symbolic move that will have minimal impact.
It applies apparently to three cities, to Nantes, Bordeaux, and Lyon. It's not a big deal from the point of view of overall emissions.
Still, many say it's a crucial step. The World Wildlife Fund says air travel is currently the most carbon-intensive activity a person can participate in. Vanessa Lee, CTV News, Montreal.
After the break, the incredible breakthrough that's helped a paralyzed man walk again. We leave you now with a remarkable technology that has allowed a man who was paralyzed more than a decade ago to get back on his feet. CTV's John Venevelli Rao on what's being considered a potential breakthrough.
12 years ago, Dutch resident Hurt van Oskam got into a cycling accident that broke his neck and damaged his spinal cord.
So I'm not able to move my legs anymore.
But in a big step towards helping those who've been paralyzed, here is Oskam back on his feet. standing tall and, while it's slow going, able to move on his own with just a walker. A remarkable sight. Oskam had surgery 2 years ago, during which Swiss researchers implanted devices into his skull. When he thinks about moving his legs, they send a signal to a computer, which sends impulses to an implant in his spinal cord, prompting the legs to move.
So between these two, there is communication, an electrical communication, a digital bridge that is then reactivated the legs.
We are recording electrical signal generated by the brain, so we need to decode this signal. And for this, we use artificial intelligence that predicts the thought of the patient.
I only have to think about movement, and I can start and stop.
The research builds on previous work that showed stimulating the lower spine with electrical impulses can help some of those who are paralyzed to walk or even cycle again. But those movements were often controlled externally by a button or tablet and seemed robotic. Using his mind, Oskim can walk on gravel and climb stairs. He's even regained some ability to move his legs without the device being on.
Suggesting that this digital bridge also promote the growth of new nerve connections.
And Oskim says it's enabled something he's longed to do.
I'm training 10 years to stand up with a friend having a beer.
More trials are planned, with the researchers next wanting to see if they can restore hand and arm movements too. John Venevalli Rao, CTV News, Toronto.
We want to end tonight with one last reflection on Tina Turner. Charisma was her currency, her lyrical abilities legendary. But her iconic status is also rooted in her resilience. She survived the fire and came out a phoenix. For all of us at CTV National News, good night.
If they're still giving me awards at 81, I must have done something right.